Well, we're starting a new series. You know what's crazy walking with God? I had a message all prepared, and I gave Tim all the notes. Tim does our audio, he does the visual. Yeah, he's amazing. And then I called him this morning and said, got a different message. And so we're going to roll with that. And I think this is the word that God really wants for us today and to carry into our new year. I know you've heard a couple of words already. But this is the big deal. Live one day at a time. Live today. Be present. So I'm going to be talking about that today, because it's the small thing that will make the big difference in your life, is learning to walk in what you have right now, one day at a time. Now, for those in recovery in here, that's a term that is bantered about often, and even then, it's still super difficult. But this is the reality. We only have today. The future is not in our hands, and the past is not in our hands. We have today. And when we live in either one of those two, and some of us spend a lot of time living, either reliving our past or projecting what we think the future will be. And you know what? When I project the future, it always ends disastrously. Is that a right word? Disastrously. How many ever project the future and it ends beautifully? And you roll with that. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm just talking about projecting, you know, what's going to happen in the future. It's always like it's a downward spiral. So God has the future for us. You know, now that we've put the holidays behind us and the pumpkin pie is done, we enter into a new year, and the new year always brings the thought of starting over, making changes, putting the past year behind us, tackling that which we have been putting off, pledging to better ourselves and our lives. And for others of us sitting here today, we simply have given up on all that, and we don't make any resolutions. We just, you know, hey, we can't keep them anyway. You know, one of the false beliefs we often take when we start something new is that we can conquer a huge part of our life. You can't conquer a huge part of your life, especially all at once. But as it turns out, our habits die hard. In fact, that's one of the main reasons resolutions fall, because we make them way too big. I'm going to start working out 5 times a week. You haven't worked out for 10 years, but you're jumping in 5 times a week. I'm going to get up an extra half hour early and spend time with Jesus. No thought. See, that's the big thing. The small thing would be to go to bed a half hour earlier, so you could get up a half hour sooner. But we don't. We make these big decisions, and we leave out the small things, because it's the small thing that makes the big difference. And you put small thing upon small thing upon small thing, it ends up with great accomplishments. We are in the fast technology generation where we want it now, and hopefully faster than that. It bugs me if I pull into Starbucks and there's like 5 cars. It's like, God! That's like 5 minutes now. And when we, you know, and fast food is never fast food enough. Everything we want. I never ever shopped on online. And now today, I'm just going to tell on myself. I look at Amazon every day now. Sales of the day, or whatever that little tab's called. I pop on that. Like, those things are important. And it's like, I see things on there I never even thought of. And all of a sudden, I need that, I think. I think I need that. That's important to me. This is just the way we are. You know, 37% of people polled say this is what they need to do. What do you think it is for the new year? Lose weight. Exercise. It's either exercise or lose weight. And it's reversed. 37% say exercise, 32% say lose weight. every year. It's the same. What does that tell us? It tells us we don't know what we're doing. We see, but we see, all of us in here, we know what we need. A lot of us know what we want. The problem is getting there. And we think it's one gigantic leap. And I was doing it too. Teresa and I have some debt. And we're sitting on the other day and thinking, okay, we want to get out of debt this year. That's a lie. There's no possible way we're going to get out of debt unless somebody just dumps a bunch of money on me. But you know what would be better was if we can get 40% out of debt this year. If we can minus our debt by, that's a doable number for us. For her. Because here's my big plan to get out of debt. Die before her. Listen. This month we're going to be talking about the little things that make the big difference. We're going to look at our thoughts and our words and our actions. So for the next number of weeks we'll be taking each one of those and looking at how our actions, small actions, make a big difference. Small thoughts make a big difference. Words make a big difference. What we speak over our lives, what we speak to others. Little words have tremendous power. The power is in the little things. But one of the big problems in carrying all that out is we have blind spots. What's a blind spot? A blind spot is something that's there, but I just don't see it. I'm blind to it. And every one of us approaches life with blind spots. Even though I agree with everything I think I need, I miss portions of it. You know, even your own eyes have blind spots. I got a graph up here where I'm going to show you. Even people who work on the brain struggle sometimes with realizing that our eyes do not see everything our brain interprets them as seeing. How many of you at night have seen, you know, you wake up and you look over and you see something and you think it's different than what it really is? You're looking at the coat rack or you're looking at some clothes and you think someone's standing there and it's, you know what's going on is your brain, the receptors in your brain are receiving light and the back of your eye has photoreceptors, almost like in a dark room where you have the negative. And those photoreceptors are excited when light hits them. And so they activate and they project the image that your eye is seeing. Now, if your eye, all of us have a blind spot in our eye if we have normal working eyes. And we'll look at that in a second. But if our eyes are damaged, we can have multiple blind spots. That's why we wear glasses. Not like right now. I refuse to wear glasses most of the time, but it's becoming a real problem because my eyes aren't agreeing with it. And like if I go to a restaurant, these lights just are not bright enough, you know. But the reality is, I can't see. My eyes cannot receive enough information because they're damaged to make out small font. And so we have to do things to help them. And so when our eyes are damaged, we see even less. And so what your brain does, it has a marvelous capacity to make up what it thinks is there. It has to do something with the information, and we can fool ourselves. So let's take a look at the eye. Now this is your eye looking straight out. So we're looking at that eye from up on top. We're looking down on it. So consider yourself looking down on it. And of course, we have the left side. So we're going to be using your right eye. So if your right eye, I'm looking left this way, and you got an L for that, and we got an R for this way. And then we got the eye seeing straight ahead. Now, all the light that comes in through these different channels and everything in here, depending upon your ability with peripheral vision, that's the ability to see on the periphery, because we can also be damaged there and our periphery shrinks. And so we don't see things that are there even though they're there. So all the light comes in, hits these neurons back here, these photoreceptors, which send all this information to what's called the optic nerve, which then sends it to the brain to be interpreted. Now your blind spot comes in because any light coming into the optic nerve, there's no receptors there. So you and I have a blind spot. If we were to take my left to right, or it would be reverse for you. If you were to take your finger, you don't have to do it now, but you can practice this at home, and move your finger towards the center of your eye, you at some point will not be able to see your finger because you hit the blind spot that you have in your eye, because at that place in your eye where all the receptors bundle up and go to your brain, you're blind. Now, if you have cataracts, if you have other disease, you have multiple blind spots. So what your brain does is it takes this information, and based on what the general info it's receiving from the other receptors, it makes up that dark spot and it makes a picture for you. So when you're sitting here like right now looking at me, you think you're seeing everything clearly. But your brain made up a portion of that in your blind spot. Another way to look at this is in your mirror. How many know that looking in a mirror on your car, if you look outside your mirror, most of the time you have a blind spot? Now we have blind spot indicators for the newer cars. If you look at that mirror while you're driving, your brain interprets what it sees as everything that is there. But the truth is, that mirror has a blind spot. So the information it's projecting to your nerve receptors or your neurons in the photoreceptors in your eye is giving you only partial information. And so in one move, your brain's interpreting the lane is clear. And you go to move over, and voila, it isn't. If you're lucky, the horn honks, and you move back into your lane, or you get in an accident. That all can happen in one split second. Your eye fooled you based on what it was seeing. Same thing when your mirror says objects in the mirror appear closer than they are closer than they appear. It's a big deal for you and I to realize we have blind spots. The blind spot is this. Your mind works very much the same way. When you deal with a situation, you think you're interpreting it correctly. You think you're seeing it well. But the truth is, there are massive blind spots. And that's what stumbles us in trying to achieve what we want to achieve in life, is we do not recognize there are blind spots in our ability to perceive, and we need help. Listen, in Song of Songs, I think in some older version it's called Song of Solomon, but in that particular passage in Scripture, there's this Shulamite woman who's in love with her lover, and they're getting ready to get married, and they say all these wonderful things. It's the sexiest book in the Bible. And you can interpret it a lot of different ways. So anyways, she's writing to her lover, and then she gets to a place, and she says this to him in Song of Psalms 2:15. She says, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin our vineyards. Are vineyards that are in bloom." She's writing to this lover saying, listen, in our vineyard, this big place, she's using a picture of you can actually picture a vineyard. And she's referring that, using it as an analogy, a metaphor for her love for her soon-to-be husband, that we are in love and we are like a vineyard that is beginning to bloom. But we have to catch the little foxes that come in and destroy the vineyard. And she's telling her husband to be careful that we catch these foxes before they destroy what we have. What does that mean? Well, in agriculture, foxes eat the new blooms. So what happens is when a vineyard is getting to the place of blooming and going to produce new grapes, foxes naturally come. They're attracted to that. They don't attack a vine that's been growing. And then if you've ever been in through any of the vineyards, you'll see, you know, after the season is done, they chop them down and there's these big old vines and they have little short vines out. And the foxes don't attack those. Those are sturdy. Those have been built. They're strong. What they do is they wait for the new growth to come out, that fresh growth to come out, and that's what they attack and eat. And left unchecked, they will ruin, even though they're little foxes. They're smaller than, they're about half the size. These foxes are about half the size of a cat. These little foxes will come in and destroy a vineyard that is massive as it begins to bloom. Because once they eat the bloom, that's done. That plant is done, and it will not produce for another year. And it's almost the way we are oftentimes. We come into the new year, or we come into something that is just beginning to bloom in our life. We see something we want to do. We see something we want to attack or move forward in. And some of you have got some resolutions. And what you forget is the blind spot or the little foxes. That just as you begin to move into this, this fox comes in and eats it. So what does that mean to us? It means you have to live day to day. You have to live one day at a time. It only takes a day for the fox to come in. When you start living out in the future, you will miss the fox of today. You will miss the blessing of today. How many live in an imaginary life in front of you? It's imaginary. You haven't entered into it. And you don't live in today. And therefore, you miss what you need to do in the moment. You miss what God has for you. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 11:12. He says, "Now we see, but a poor reflection is in a mirror." You know, when you look in a mirror tells you what is there presently. It doesn't tell you anything about the past. It doesn't project anything on you in the future. When you look in a mirror, it just tells you, presently, this is what you look like. And the mirror doesn't see everything. It's got blind spots. It has no idea what's on the side of it. It has no idea of anything. He says, you and I live as if looking in a mirror. We live, in other words, in the present. When you look in the mirror, you're not looking in the mirror and saying, what am I going to look like in 3 years? You're working on whatever you do. And you know, women spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. I don't know about you guys, but I don't care how long Therese gets ready. I am very careful. When we're driving anywhere, she's still working on the mirror. Yeah, how many other women are like that? It could, yeah, you're just doing, you know, it's just like, I said, didn't you get all that done on the way? Because guys, we look in the mirror, and the older you get, you kind of move farther away from the mirror. And the older I get, the less hair I have to worry about. And some of you don't even worry about that anymore. And so, you know, it's the mirror tells you what you look like right now. And it deals with you dealing with that look right now. See, if I want to work out, that must have been a good one back there. Maybe share it with us all. He says, we have but a poor reflection as in a mirror. We don't even see ourselves clearly. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. There's a lot to that. But the bottom line for us today is that live your life in the present. And realize that you don't see everything. You have huge blind spots about every area of your life. Only God sees the big picture. Only God has the handle on everything. In fact, in Proverbs 29 in the New American Standard Bible, it says this, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. The word vision there is the idea of a scope. Like a scope on a rifle. When you are using a scope on a rifle, you are focused on one thing. You and I, Bible tells us, is to keep our vision present. If we don't, we are like somebody who is unrestrained. We're all over the place. If I go by my feelings, how many have lived by their feelings? Isn't that a dangerous place to be? Because they're up and down and all around. I feel this way now, I feel this way later. You know, they've done a studies. How many do read Facebook? They say the more you're on Facebook, the more miserable you are feeling. One is because people print things or show stuff that you disagree with. And now you're mad and now you're angry and now you got that issue going. Now you're building resentments. So you're feeling miserable. Secondly, people post things that show their best side. It doesn't impress me that you're eating at Ruth Chris. Because why? Because I can't. And you have a better life than me. And you have a better thing going on. And you hear these people bragging about how much they love their wives and then you're single. Or you're in a tough relationship. And these guys are on vacation every freaking week. How do they do it? Life is just a bowl of, they put their best foot forward and we don't like any of that. And we walk away miserable. And it's because we don't stay in the present. And we're living vicariously through other stuff. I didn't say the F word right then either. That's a slang term. See how my mind works? It was like, oh, that wasn't. That'll be on Facebook. I'll tell you what. Because you can delete posts on Facebook, right? When I see advertisements for other churches, it's like, if I see one more advertisement for Saddleback, delete that post. Because I don't want to see it, and I don't want any of my friends to see it. Because what if my friends go to that church? Then I'll have less friends. And by the way, how many friends does Saddleback have? Trippy, huh? Your life will be better staying in the present. Stay in the present. Look, we don't want to be unrestrained. Take one step at a time. You know, God said an amazing thing to Joshua after Moses had led the people for 40 years and they were getting ready to enter into the land that God had provided them, the land of milk and honey, their destination, their place of flourishing. When they were getting ready to enter into that, Moses dies. And the mantle of leadership falls to Joshua. And Joshua, like any of us, stepping into a position, one day he's following, the next day he's in charge. It was, God had been preparing him and God had sent him out on journeys and all that. But a day, see, everything happens in a day. Jesus lived his life and he died one day. His life was a preparation for that, but something happened that day. Stuff happens in the days of our life. So this happened to him, and it says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Isn't it awesome when God, you know, tells you what you already know? You know. Anyway, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, into this big spacious place, to the Israelites, and I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. He said this big picture, and see, that's the thing that God's doing in your life. There's the big picture. How do you accomplish that big picture? One foot at a time. Now, we would say it in our vocabulary, one day at a time. There's a big picture God has for you. And when you set yourself up for the big picture that you want in your life, remember this, it's one day at a time. One step at a time takes you to that journey. And you don't even get to determine how many of those steps. Like, it isn't like every day I take a step. It's like every day I am in the process. How many know that you've been standing on some stuff for a while now? And God isn't in any hurry to move you. I mean, you spun around. I've seen this part of it. I've seen this part. He just wants you to take care of today. How does that work? When you wake up in the morning, that's your day. That's your step today. Your step today is today. When you get paid on the day you get paid, that's the day you get to step into what you're supposed to do with that. What am I supposed to do? Well, I'm holding it like there's a check, but a lot of us get paid, you know, straight to the bank. What do I do with that money today? How many of us have these dreams of what we're going to do with our money and how we want to accomplish things out there? And hey, plans are all great. But it all matters what you do with that paycheck. That's the only check you got. And it comes on a day. Handle that day well. And then the next time that comes around to that day, handle that day well. Then when the next day comes, well, you're getting the picture here, right? Handle that day well. That's how it works. And if you handle those days well, they add up and things get accomplished. It's the way it is. You want a good marriage? Handle it today. What do you need to handle today? Well, I need to love my spouse. Teresa and I had a rough week this week. I actually yelled. Yeah, I know. St. Joe? You too? I don't know what to say about that. Well, that's what I had to do, ask for forgiveness. She goes, you're yelling at me, don't yell at me. And it's like, then you know, that didn't work that good because then I wanted to yell more. So thank you for praying for us. And Christmas is hard for us. You know, there are days that are going to be harder than other days. You know, I was reading a pastor the other day. It was awesome. I love this guy. But he was sharing, because there was another pastor that fell, and it was gnarly, but he was talking about, you know what, the only thing that separates me from that guy, or me even from that guy, is I haven't done a sin that disqualifies me. I've sinned. I sin. I'm not that different than any of you in here, but I haven't taken that one day to do that thing which would affect, and this is the truth for all of us, in one day, If we're not on our game in that one day, we can do something that will affect a lot of things. It only takes one day. You can destroy in one day. How many of us in recovery know that? You can destroy in one day what you've spent years to build. You can destroy a relationship in one day. You know, yeah, things in those days usually lead up to that. Those are a number of days, but it happens in a day. You and I, point being, only get one day. And so I have always taken those days in my ministry now for many years, and I've guarded myself to not do that thing. But you know what? I'll tell you what. There's some other days that I don't guard that good in other areas of my life. Like that day when I let my anger get a hold of me. And I'm sick. So when you're sick, how many know that? You're not looking real good. You're like that, the mirror. You know, when you don't shower for 2 days when you're sick, that mirror is an ugly picture. Listen, your life accomplishments, the great things in your life, happen one day at a time. And I thank God that He gives us new days. Every day is new. Scripture tells us that His mercies for us are new every morning. He doesn't carry a grudge over on us. Scripture tells us that seasons happen in our lives. God's desire for each one of us is whatever your season is, producing it, but it's only produced one day. What are the little foxes in your life? What are the foxes? Ask the Lord in the morning, in the step I take into this day, God, what is the fox I need to watch out for that will eat the bloom that you want for me today? Because today is the only day you have absolute control over in the moment. And even in that, it's limited. You can walk out of here right now and have a heart attack on the way out. You can have something happen. We can leave this place and get a phone call, and it can change our lives. When my son passed, I was at church. That day reverberates in our life to this moment, to this day, every day. And you know what? And all the other the great things that happen. A day is a day. That is all you and I have. And those days add up to the great accomplishments that we will ever have happen to us. I can't tell you that life is going to be good for you in 2017. I can tell you, though, that God will be faithful. There were probably a few people sitting here today that will not be on this planet come the end of this year. There are a few people that are clean today that will not be clean next year. There are some people today sitting here thinking they are in great health that will find out something is radically wrong with them this year. But God is still faithful. And even in that, you get to live it one day at a time. You need to ask God, what are we supposed to do then? We need to ask God when we wake up in the morning, God, let this be a day that is productive. Let me do the best today. Before you step your foot into bed at night, God, let me reflect on today. See if I did well today. That's how it works. That's what separates us. When we're in down times, and you're going to have down times, you're going to have trouble. To think you're not is a fantasy. To think you can accomplish major things in your life, maybe. Maybe not. You need to do that. I need to do some writing. I was talking to somebody the other day, and it was like, I got a gazillion stories about you people. I'm not going to put your name down, but I'm sure going to put your picture next to it. I mean, the stories I could tell. It's like, man, people need to hear that. You know, they need to hear about what the great things God does in the little snippets I get to see of their life. You know, and so, you know, that's one thing I want to do. But you know what? That's never going to happen unless I do it one day. At least start it. And God is so gracious to us. God is so gracious. He gives us lots of do-overs. But he doesn't want you to do over the big picture. He wants you to do over today. Today. Hey, if you guys, for those of us in here that want to start working out, let's try 2 days a week. Make that day, and then that morning when you get up, or however it is you get up, if you got to go to bed earlier so you can do it before work, if you got to figure out what, then figure out that day. Don't give yourself any excuses. You know one of the big hindrances to us living in getting something accomplished today? Procrastination. When you wake up in the morning, just say this: I'm not going to procrastinate today. I get stuff on my desk, and it's like, I can do that later. I'll do that later. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that, I don't know, whenever. Lunch? Yeah. Hey, how about we do lunch? Procrastinate. How many let procrastination kill them? Yeah. Handle today what you need to handle today and get that done. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. But listen, let's just close with this. In Ephesians 5:15, it says this: be very careful then how you live. Be careful how you live. Be careful. So what's the opposite of careful? Careless. Yes. And we're not sick in the kingdom of God. We rebuke that. You can always tell who it is because everybody's sitting there and moves, slides over a little bit. It won't work. We're doomed. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. And the only opportunity you get is days, and it is one day at a time. He says, why? Because the days are evil. The opportunity to do wrong is ever present. The opportunity to do negative is ever present. So we're going to be looking at thoughts next week because that's a real circus up there. Yeah, I know. So, you know. But listen, and this is the other thing. Your thoughts, notice how they wander and not stay present. We know what they need to do. And then, you know, how many know this? As soon as you get to start praying, all of a sudden, especially at home, all of a sudden, housework starts flowing into your head. All the things you should be doing. I mean, learning to keep our minds present, that's a huge self-discipline. Learning to stay. How many know that as soon as you read, you fall right to sleep? You know what that means? Don't read then. That obviously is sleep time. Probably read at some other point in time. That's just being wise in the day that we're in. I know I need to read. And this is the other thing. For you guys that, okay, I'm going to get spiritual. This, you know, I'm going to really start pouring into my spirit. Let's try one page of the Bible in the morning. So I'm going to get up early, get my coffee, spend my devotional time. And you start making this massive project. My spiritual project. That's just, you know what? When I go to the bathroom in the morning, I'm going to sit down instead of running in and running out, and I'm going to read that page and pray for a moment. That's a good start. That's a plus right there. Amen? Start with something you can do on the day. Don't be giving yourself projects that will take, I'm going to redo the whole thing. I'm going to get myself organized. That means nothing. But somehow it gives us a little dopamine rush. Like, oh, because the idea of doing something makes me feel good even though I've done nothing about it. Saturday, I'm going to clean out shelf one. The smallest place. The pile next to the bed. Let's start there. That's how we do it. Take that to every area of your life. Today, I'm going to compliment my spouse on something. Start small today. Today, I'm not going to condemn myself. Today, I'm not going to say I should to myself. Just today. Today, I'm not going to be a victim. Just today, I'm going to own it. I'm going to own today, and I'm not going to give it to somebody else. I'm going to own getting to work on time today. Just today. Tomorrow, I'll worry about that later. I'm not going to backbite today at work. Today, when I get my paycheck, I'm going to do this with it. Don't even worry about it till you get it. Hey, you get the picture, right? Jesus said this, therefore, in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 6, he says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own, you guys. Today has enough trouble of its own. And my Raiders are playing today and we're without Derek Carr. That's a lot of trouble today. Some of you have no idea what that means. And some of you do. Some of you are even happy about that. But today has enough trouble. A brother's got a close relative going to the ER that's probably going to go into hospice and probably won't be with us in a week. Everybody's got something going on today.